This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
give God the praise. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and Lord, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God, and God, that before we loved you, you loved us. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. As you remain standing, I would that you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. And there you will find these words. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We ask that you would think with us this morning in terms of a subject, when life doesn't measure up. When life doesn't measure up. Thank you, ushers. Perhaps the hardest thing for a Christian to do is to stand on his faith in God when life is not making sense. A popular myth of Christianity is that once we come to Jesus, we'll never have a problem. But Jesus himself reminds us that God causes the sun to shine on the unjust and the rain to fall on the faithful. And while we can accept that intellectually, it's hard to live with that reality when the one in the rain is us. Y'all know it's not hard to praise the Lord when all is going well, but it's a little harder to say, I love the Lord, when the bottom falls out of our lives. It's not hard to sing songs of praise when all of our bills are paid. But it's a little harder to sing when you're not sure where your next meal is coming from, or when your children are acting up, or when your spouse disappoints you, or when our bodies are racked with pain. Often when life doesn't measure up, it disrupts our relationship with God. When life doesn't measure up, we're heard asking the question, what good does it do? What good is church if I still have all of these problems? What good is service if suffering is its constant companion, while others who never call on God's name seem to be doing so much better than we are? What good is prayer if I don't always get what I ask for? Well, I've come by this morning, my brothers and sisters, to let you know that the Bible is full of examples of people who broke at the point that life started to not make sense. Y'all know, you Bible readers know, that Elijah ran and hid himself in a cave and asked God to take his life because it wasn't measuring up. Jeremiah got mad with God and said that he wasn't going to preach anymore because life wasn't making sense. We talk about the patience of Job, but if you will check the record, the Bible says that the longer life fell short of Job's expectations, the shorter his patience became, until finally he challenged God's fairness. Amen. He said, if only I knew where to find him. Talking about God, if only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. It's hard sometimes to keep going when life doesn't make sense or measure up to our hopes. But if Habakkuk's story serves any purpose today, it ought to encourage us to stay anchored in our faith in God, even when disappointment comes our way. Do I have a witness this morning? And that ought to be the case because we trust and we believe that God cares. We trust and we believe that he will provide a remedy to our situation if we would just patiently wait on him. Turn to that neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to wait on him. You got to wait on him. Now, I need to tell you that the word wait is interesting because it doesn't mean what we commonly think it means. You see, our common use of the word wait refers to a moment of stillness where we do nothing. But I've come by to tell you that often the word wait in the Old Testament meant to maintain an earnest hope. All in our Sunday school lesson. Young folk are committing suicide. Amen. I said this morning at Southern, a cheerleader just committed suicide last week. A good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Quinzon Barnes, amen, last year committed suicide. Amen. And a lot of it is because people are losing hope. And I wish somebody would help me preach this message this morning by looking at somebody and telling them that whatever you do, don't lose hope. Come on, how many of you know the devil wants you to lose hope? The devil keeps causing stuff to happen and keeps digging potholes in your way, keeps causing folk to lie on you and talk about you, all in an attempt to get you to lose hope. But I have come by this morning to tell you, whatever you do, don't lose your hope in God. To wait means to maintain an earnest hope. When Isaiah says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, he was really saying those whose hope, those whose faith rest in the Lord shall have their strength renewed. When David says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, he's saying keep your hope in the Lord and hold on in tough times, and he will fulfill your desire. And the advice that comes from these patriarchs of the faith is the same that we see coming from the man at the center of our text today as he deals with the situation where life is not measuring up. I needed to give you a little history. Our text centers on the faith of Habakkuk at a time when life had left him extremely hurt and disappointed. This brother prophesied for the Lord between 620 and 600 BC to the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was caught in the midst of great spiritual apostasy. Wickedness abounded on every hand, but while Judah was fading, the Bible says that Babylon, which was a pagan nation, was prospering. Judah was on her way out, but Babylon was reaching new heights. Judah was going backwards, but Babylon was moving forward and expanding, and they were doing it through very aggressive and violent means. This turn of events disturbed Brother Habakkuk. He was a godly man who did his best to live a life that would be pleasing to God. But more than that, Habakkuk was aware of the history of his people. He knew that he was of the tribe and lineage of David. He knew that the blood of Abraham ran through his veins and the veins of his people. To borrow an expression from Peter, he knew that Judah was a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation that enjoyed a unique relationship with God. He knew that God had built a hedge around his people and had protected them from their enemies. But now things were changing. Because of spiritual wickedness, because of unrepentant sin, Israel had been swept away by the Assyrians just a century earlier, and now they were about to be swept away by the Babylonians. Church, never forget that God has a purpose for our lives. And if we submit to him, let me say that again, if we submit to him, he will help us achieve that purpose for our lives. But as we consider this text today, we ought to also remember that as merciful and as lenient and as patient as God is, if we abuse his mercy, there will come a time when patience runs out. Do I have a witness today? Amen. That's what happened with Israel. That's what was happening with Judah. And in many ways, it seems like that's what's happening to us today. Time after time, God had warned his people to live up to his standard or suffer the consequences of their choices. And the same thing is being said of us today. God has a standard for his people. Do y'all know what the standard is? The standard is the Christ standard. The Christ standard, the Christ standard, the Christ standard is love without limit or restriction. The Christ standard, the Christ standard, the Christ standard is living a life that shows others that Jesus is in control. I'm talking about the Christ standard, the Christ standard, the Christ standard is doing for others what you want others to do for you. The Christ standard, the Christ standard is blessing those who curse you and doing good to those who hate you and praying for those who would use you and persecute you. I'm talking about the Christ standard. The Christ standard is living by faith, walking by faith, living in the spirit and not gratifying the desires of the flesh. The Christ standard is pursuing excellence in all that we say, in all that we think, in all that we do. And my brothers and sisters, when we fail to strive to live up to the Christ standard, we test the very patience of God. And if we're not careful, tell your neighbor his patience will run out. Oh, don't be fooled. Don't get it twisted. You may feel good right now. You may think you look good right now. You may think your children are doing well right now. But when God's patience runs out, I said when God's patience runs out, y'all have heard me say before that living in my father's house, Big Willie we called him, my father and my mother, my father was the disciplinarian. Now, I was a good child, so I didn't get a whole lot of whippings, but my brothers and sisters, and they're here, they can testify, amen, that they would get in trouble, and Big Willie would put his hands on them, and you, one thing you didn't want, amen. I was the youngest, and I'd seen my daddy whip my older brothers and sisters, and I made up in my mind that I was going to live the kind of life where my daddy did not have to put his hands on me. Am I by myself? But since I have become a child of the Most High God, since I have become a child of Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, my prayer is not that my father would put his hand on me. My prayer is that my heavenly father won't take his hand off of me. Is there anybody in here that you're glad, amen, everything may not be what you want it to be, but you're in his hands. Amen. Everything may not look like you want it to look, but you're all right because you know you're still in his hands. Give him praise in this place. So don't get it twisted. God's patience runs out. Paul, amen, was right when he said, don't be fooled. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Habakkuk had been a religious and devout man, and it was inconceivable to him that God would allow such a people as the Babylonians to threaten the peace of Judah. Hear him question God. He says, God, how long will I cry for help when it seems as though you will not hear? Why are you silent in the midst of this sorrow? Habakkuk becomes the voice of the godly man trying to understand the ways of God when life is not measuring up. But as we consider Habakkuk's complaint, there are two or three things I want to leave you with this morning, and we'll be out of here. Two or three things that I don't think Habakkuk really considered. Number one, Habakkuk failed to consider that Judah's trouble was Judah's fault. Judah's, y'all know how we do when we get in trouble. Amen. We want to point fingers at everybody else. But is there anybody in here besides Joe Garner who has to admit that a lot of the trouble I found myself in was my own fault? Am I the only one? Amen. And so when you read this, you understand that perhaps Habakkuk hadn't considered that Judah's trouble was Judah's fault. Judah's great sin against God was the sin of idolatry. And all the things that accompany idolatry. Y'all know what idolatry is, don't you? Yeah. It's when you put something before God. Yeah. Amen. Some of you are in the house on this Sunday morning. Amen. You should be listening to the word, but you're putting other stuff before God. Do I have a witness today? Amen. No one forced Judah into idol worship. No one made Judah reject the God of their fathers and embrace gods of wood and stone. They did that on their own. And when you invite trouble into your life, you ought not be surprised when trouble shows up. Church, when life doesn't measure up, we ask God, why would you let trouble come into my life? And I'm not insensitive to your situation, whatever it may be, but I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit to remind us that much of our trouble is our own fault. Much of our trouble is because we've turned away from the true and living God and followed after other gods. Instead of us giving our children a God to follow after, many of us are following after the God of our children. Shame on you. Amen. Your parents gave you a God to follow after. Your parents told you how important coming to church was. Your parents, amen, taught you that you needed God in your life because the sun can be shining one day, but rain will come on another day, and you need to have a God that you can turn to. Do I have any witnesses here today? We followed after the God of power. We followed after the God of pleasure. We followed after the God of wealth and prosperity. We followed after the God of selfishness and greed. We followed after the God of lust and temptation. We followed after the God of laziness. We followed after the God of anger and revenge. We followed after the God of pragmatism and practicality. And when we abandon the true and living God and follow after idols, then we ought not be surprised when trouble arise at our doors. We failed to consider that the trouble they were facing was their fault. But then secondly, the second thing Habakkuk failed to consider was that life wasn't measuring up because he was suffering because of the sins of other folk. Walk with me this morning. You see, sin had saturated the halls of government. Sin had stained the business and economic community. Sin had infiltrated the religious community. And even though Habakkuk had been devout and righteous and committed to God, Babylon was at the door because it was being affected by the sin of other folk. Do y'all know that your sin doesn't just affect you? Our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects others. When life fails to measure up, it may be because we're caught up in somebody else's drama. I don't know about y'all, but that's something I hate. Don't get me involved in other folks' drama. I have learned to spend 6 months minding my own business and 6 months leaving other folks' business alone. Come on, am I the only one in here who has enough stuff to deal with that I can't get caught up in the fact that you don't like them and you don't company with them and you don't want to have nothing to do with them, and now you're trying to get me not to speak to them, and I'm not going to hell for nobody. Amen. Sometimes you can get in trouble because you're dealing with the consequences of somebody else's sin. America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Yes, sir. But many of us are suffering the consequences of America's sin. When our government continues to claim privilege for one portion of the nation by systematically and institutionally denying that same privilege to others because of their race, because of their creed, because of their color, that's sin. Yes, and there will be consequences. When the poor are denied adequate housing, education, health care, and employment, that's a sin, and there will be consequences. And just like that's true on a national level, it's true on a personal level. Our sinful choices, our selfish choices, our vengeful choices, our path of least resistance choices carry consequences that affect more people than just us. The children of addicts and alcoholics and abusers are more likely to be addicts, alcoholics, and abusers. That's a consequence of our sin. Children who are given no positive direction in life from their home will choose their own direction, and normally it ends up being in the street and caught up in violence and caught up in criminal activity. That's a consequence of our sin. as unpleasant as it may be for many of us, we must realize that Babylon is at our door today because we're suffering the consequences of other people's sins. But then finally, as I close, I'm glad for what Habakkuk did about his situation. Life for Habakkuk wasn't measuring up. He was frustrated. He was upset. He was disappointed. But I'm glad that he took his problem to the only one who could help him. I hear Habakkuk say, even though I don't like what's happening, even though I don't understand why things are the way they are, even though Babylon is knocking at my door and trouble has befallen me, when I've done the best that I could do, I've made up my mind that I'm not going to give up on God. He says in our text, I'll stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts, and I will look to see what he will say to me. Habakkuk knew that he had a problem, but he also knew who had the answer. Habakkuk knew that his heart was broken, but he also knew who could fix his heart and who could lift his spirit. Habakkuk knew that trouble was all around him, but he also knew who would be his bridge over troubled water. He was not satisfied with talking to his friends or to his neighbors. He was not content to take his grievance to some governmental office. But Habakkuk recognized that he had a real problem. He knew that life for him was not measuring up. It was not making sense. And he understood that there was only one who could do anything about his situation. And so he says, I'm standing on the watch wall, looking out over the unfulfilled hopes of my life. He said, I've done all that I can do. I have gone as far as I can go. And so I'm just going to give my situation over to the Lord, and I'm going to wait for him to answer me. And so, church, I come by to tell you that when life fails to make sense,